The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Babes
show,
on bra,
hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to episode number 111 of Babes on Broad. I'm Jesse Taylor, one of your hosts, and I'm riding solo this week while Sam's still out on maternity leave, spending as much time as humanly possible with adorable little baby Marlo. As much as I miss Sam and wish she was here with me, I would not want her anywhere else other than just taking some time for herself, for her family, for her baby. She'll be back soon enough. I told her, like, whenever she's feeling good enough to come back. Of course, I can't wait to have her back, but also don't want her to rush. Want her to take some time. I told you, she tried to tell me that she was not going to take any time at all. And I was like, no, please don't do that. It is not that serious. Much rather you spend some time. But I do wish she would be here with me to talk about two games, one that happened a week and a half ago, one that is upcoming this week. And now I know it's kind of gone by the wayside at this point. We've moved on from the win over Dallas, and we've moved on from the game. Going to touch on that at a few different points just to recap a little bit to lead us into the matchup this week against the Chiefs, Monday Night Football, the keys to success there, and then we'll check in on around the NFL, some things that are going on, because the NFL is in a weird spot right now. A lot of teams are not necessarily where I expected them to be. Most people expected them to be. It's really, the Eagles still have the best record in the NFL, but it still feels almost like, beyond that, it's still very up in the air. The Eagles have the best record. The Chiefs are, the second best record in the NFL. But beyond those two teams, it's really interesting. On every level, there's kind of the teams that are the best of the best. Then there's the group of teams that I think are, not as good as people were thinking they would be, but are there sort of at the upper echelon. Then there's the sort of mid tier that, we'll see what happens. There's a group of teams that are still in the hunt for a playoff spot that, no one really saw potentially being there. And then there's, the teams that are just the disappointment teams. And some of them were to be expected. Some of them are really surprising. So we'll get into it. But before we get there, going to recap a little bit, where the Eagles are today, recording this Wednesday afternoon. So beat the Cowboys, final score 28-23. The defense looked terrible. They did. It was a truly terrible game. They did. They made enough plays to win. Obviously, Brandon Graham comes in and makes what could be arguably one of the biggest plays of the game, and chasing Dak Prescott out of bounds on that 2-point conversion, which gives them a little bit more leeway at the end of the game situation there, potentially being able to kick the field goal to tie the game and go into overtime as opposed to having to score to actually win the game. Or having to score a touchdown, rather. We'll get into the defense, just kind of briefly. I thought James Bradberry looked bad, and Shane actually said it, I think, on the post-game show before my feed cut out there, my internet connection went as we were leaving the game. He's playing this year more like the guy that the Giants were okay cutting than the guy that we had on the team last year. And it's unfortunate because I think, he still can be, obviously we saw it last year. He can play to that caliber, but he has been pretty disappointing throughout the season. So hopefully we can turn that around, back half here, getting some key guys back from injuries, especially as it relates to the secondary, being able to activate Justin Evans off IR, assuming all goes well this week in practice. He does have the ability to play on Sunday, and he was playing well, aside from, game one against the Patriots. He was playing well. Other than that, a couple pass deflections, a couple forced fumbles. Darius Slay had bad moments as well. It was better when he was out there on CeeDee Lamb, but still not great. And then as it related to CeeDee Lamb, they had no answers for that guy, especially when he was coming out of the slot. So they, especially against CeeDee Lamb, looked particularly terrible. CeeDee, what was it? Just shy of 200 yards. Not a bad day for him by any means, but the defense did not look great. Hopefully they'll be able to get a little bit more healthy. Obviously they've got their work cut out for them with, Patrick Mahomes and guys like Travis Kelce and some of their other weapons coming up here. So, offensively, the Eagles looked really good aside from the end of game situation. Jalen Hurts played another really, really sound game, 207 yards and 2 touchdowns, then another 36 on the ground and another touchdown on the ground. Was a messy game with penalties on both sides of the football. Honestly, I think the Cowboys were technically called for more penalties, but the Eagles were penalized for more yards. And I think it was like an 8 penalties for versus 9 penalties or 9 versus 10 or something similar. It was a very evenly called game. It was messy on both sides. Cowboys fans will make you think otherwise and whine and cry and probably still are, even though they played another game since then. But, the Eagles ended up making more plays when they needed to. The fourth down stand where Ferguson's knee was down, huge play by Reed Blankenship there. Obviously, Brandon Graham, as we mentioned, getting, Dak Prescott to run out of bounds short on that 2-point conversion. Both things really crucial plays in the game. And, then the Cowboys kind of do what they do best, I guess. And, in crucial game and late game situations, they get all the way down the field with penalties after the Eagles completely botch a late game situation. The mismanagement of that sort of 4-minute drill was absolutely horrific by the Philadelphia Eagles. The decisions that they made and being able to give that ball back to the Dallas Cowboys when the defense had not been able to stop them for the duration of the second half was just a bad situation for them to be in. But a defensive pass interference, Bradberry gets hurt on that play, has to go out. The roughing the passer call on the Eagles, Darius Slay gets hurt. So at one point you're down both of your corners, not on the field in a final try to be heroic Dak Prescott situation. Then they call encroachment on Jalen Carter. So they get all the way, the Cowboys get all the way down to 1st and 5 at the Eagles 6. You're looking at that thinking, oh my God, there's no way in hell the Eagles get out of this mess. But, Cowboys gonna Cowboy, Dak's gonna Dak. The Cowboys false start, then Dak Prescott is sacked for a loss of 11 yards. They throw an incomplete pass, then take a delay of game penalty. So they get from 1st and 5 at the 6 to 3rd and 26 on the 27. And then you throw short of the goal line with 5 seconds left. I don't understand that. I will never understand it. And then CeeDee Lamb fumbled. So it is what it is. The Eagles won that game. The Eagles got to go into the bye with another win, 8-1, best record in the NFL. Bye could not have come at a better time for some of these players and in terms of injuries. You know, there was the moment right before the half where Jalen Hurts got hit and he was down for a while and sort of limped off the field, and Marcus Mariota comes out to start throwing some practice passes, and Jalen Hurts is able to come out and end up finishing the half, came back out on the field after, and, you know, absolutely balled. His knee is concerning. And I know Sam and I had talked about it on here. I believe Rachelle and I talked about it on here. And just to, you know, sort of reiterate the same thing again, you know, he is such a crucial piece of what they do. And it's not a plug and play situation. Obviously, you know, the Eagles are going to tell you that they feel confident in Marcus, and, you know, it's why he's the backup quarterback if something, God forbid, were to happen to Jalen. However, you know, the Eagles are successful at what they do and are so successful because of the athlete that Jalen Hurts is. It's what, you know, their game, the style of RPO, their play action that they run, the threats that Jalen Hurts poses as a runner and a passer, and the running backs that the Eagles have in tandem with that, are what allow a very basic vanilla offense to be so good because of the players that they have. And Jalen Hurts is at the crux of that. It's concerning if he's not 100%. Now, he is the kind of person that, you know, he still is able to, you know, get the yards where he needs, do whatever is necessary for the Birds. But you obviously wonder, you know, what kind of hit is he going to have to take for that to really impact further? And, you know, he mentioned it's not something that happened while he was running. Everybody always wants to talk about that. It didn't happen while he was running, happened while he was in the pocket, re-aggravated it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, obviously now is a little, it's concerning. So hopefully he was able to get some rest, and this was really good for him here. Other injuries, most notably, I guess, is the Dallas Goedert injury. You know, apparently the Cowboys weren't aware that WrestleMania isn't until April at Lincoln Financial Field. And this isn't the WWE. This is, in fact, the NFL. With the way that he twisted and dragged Dallas Goedert down by that arm. So Dallas Goedert has a fracture in that arm. Had surgery. Going to be back in a few weeks. You know, we'll be able to be back this season, which is great. Could potentially be back for the game in Dallas towards the end of the season, which could be very interesting. But I think the Eagles have a little bit of a question mark there at that tight end position now. Based on, you know, sort of the depth that they have, obviously they place a lot in Dallas Goedert, and, you know, what he does is a big part of their team. You know, you look at the depth that they have, and, you know, something like Grant Calcaterra had a lot of concussion history in college. It's why he essentially retired from football, came out of retirement to get drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, but now he's out again with a concussion. And you wonder, what, you know, is that worth this could be a career ender for him. Essentially, he could decide, you know, this is not worth it. Which is very, very real. So, you know, their options at tight end are extremely limited. Really, tight end depth is a concern. Is a concern here and is a concern going forward. He was ruled out of the game against Dallas. He didn't play in that game. He got the concussion before that. But, you know, it's a concern going forward. You're not sure what you have there. How does that change what the Eagles are going to do offensively? You know, aside from that injury, those, you know, injuries and how it relates to the tight end position, you know, Cam Jurgens is probably going to be able to come back this week. We mentioned Justin Evans. So Bradley Roby, some guys getting healthy that are hopefully going to really, really be a benefit to the Philadelphia Eagles as they think about going into this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. So now that we've fully recapped that, you know, kind of game, you know, top takeaways, I would say, you know, again, another ugly win, but finding a way to win. I don't care how ugly the wins are. Just win the games. It doesn't matter if, you know, who plays the prettiest game during the week. It's about who wins. Similarly, with people who want to talk about how many yards CeeDee Lamb had or the game that Dak Prescott had or XYZ. I don't care how many yards a quarterback throws for. I don't care how many receiving yards a receiver has. The outcome of the game is not who has the receiver with the most yards or whose quarterback throws for the most yards. The winner of the game is who has more points at the end when the clock hits zero. I don't care about yards. I don't care about anything else. I want the Eagles to win. And I don't care if it if they play a pretty game and they lose, I don't really give a crap about how pretty the game was. I want them to win football games. So another, you know, not so great game on the defensive side of the ball, found a way to win. That's what's important to me. So biggest takeaway, found a way to win. Going into the bye, able to get a little bit healthy, obviously a little bit of a concern at the tight end position. Those are a couple takeaways there. I am not in the business of, you know, whining and complaining about all the things the Eagles, you know, did wrong, because they still found a way to win, and Cowboys fans cry enough for everybody. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the matchup this week versus the Kansas City Chiefs. You are listening to the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back in. So before we went on break, we recapped how the Eagles played against the Dallas Cowboys. Now going to get into it. The Super Bowl rematch of this week. I don't know about anybody else, but I am an absolute religious listener of the New Heights podcast. Jason and Travis Kelce, I'm going to admit this here. I probably shouldn't, but I will. Sam and I do this podcast every week. We love doing the show. This is our sixth year. Six? That can't be right. It has to be five. 19, 20, 21, 22. This is our fifth year. Thank you. Fifth year. Math is hard. This is our fifth year doing the show. 111 episodes. We love doing this show, and it brings us so much joy being able to talk sports, which is one of our favorite things in the world with, you know, she's one of my best friends. Being able to talk sports, talk about the birds with my best friend, can't put a price on it, right? I am not a fan of listening to podcasts. I don't know what it is. I have only ever listened back to Babes on Broad. Well, one, I don't like hearing my own voice. I appreciate that other people do, but I can't listen to my own voice. I only listen back when I cut things and make videos for us and that kind of stuff. It's probably not great. I should listen to it, but I can't. I'm just not a huge fan of listening to people talk. I don't know what it is. I can't do it. I, however, religiously will listen to Jason and Travis Kelce. Religiously. I don't care. I love those two. It pains me that Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl because I love Travis Kelce. I don't really have a problem with the Kansas City Chiefs. I really like watching Patrick Mahomes play. Obviously, Andy Reid holds a special place in my heart. It is what it is, right? So, and obviously Jason's an Eagle, all-time Eagle. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is anything and everything to any Philadelphia sports fan. Listening to that podcast is so much fun. My point of all this is, they're calling it the family reunion game because it was the Kelce Bowl for the Super Bowl. This is the family reunion game. And to anybody with a question about it, no, it is not a revenge game. Not a revenge game. The Chiefs still won the Super Bowl. If the Eagles win this game on Monday night, it doesn't matter. It's not revenge. The Chiefs still won the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is more important than a game on November 20th. week 10. Okay. Whatever. But it is a Super Bowl rematch. Should be a good game. Offensively for the Kansas City Chiefs, they have struggled at times. Honestly, very similar to the struggles that the Eagles have had, to be completely honest with you. They've had a lot of trouble in the red zone. They've completely stalled out at times, had some turnover issues. Patrick Mahomes is turning the football over at a little bit higher rate than we're typically used to with Patrick Mahomes. You know, they played the Miami Dolphins in Germany before their bye, which was the same week as the Eagles' bye. If you don't know that, you live under a rock based on all the videos of Travis Kelce. And we'll talk about that later. But, you know, they won that game 21-14, scored their 14 points in the first half. Offense completely stalled out in the second half of that game. And the Kansas City or the Miami Dolphins got back into the game. Chiefs were able to pull off the win with a, you know, fumble recovery, scoop and score. So, you know, their offense has been stifled at times. Travis Kelce will no longer be sharing when and if Taylor Swift will be in attendance or not. I know you're just as sick of hearing about this as I am, but it does make a difference because this man is averaging a ridiculous amount of yards when she is in attendance versus when she's not. So for what it's worth, he is not sharing it any longer because apparently it screws up the Vegas betting odds for people based on the discrepancy in how well he plays when she is there or not. But for what it's worth, her tour schedule, and to put this out there, I have no problem with Taylor Swift as a human. I don't get the draw. I don't get the, like, spending all the money on all of the tickets. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not going to pretend to understand it. If that is your cup of tea, more power to you. My brother's girlfriend, I sat and cried when she was in Philly because she couldn't get tickets. I don't get it. But you know what? If you like it, go for it. More power to you. But she performs Sunday the 19th in Rio and doesn't perform again until Friday. So for what it's worth, she could be there. Now, as a self-professed Eagles fan, it will be disappointing, I will say, if she shows up in Kansas City Chiefs drip. Now, minimum must be the Donna Kelce special half and half jersey. That would be ideal. Or Eagles stuff. I don't care who you are. Me, if that were me, it is one. If that were me in that situation, and I'm dating Travis Kelce, but I'm a lifelong Eagles fan, that is 100% screw you and your team, go Birds. I don't care who it is. Okay. I don't care forever and always. That will always, that is just me as a person. And I feel as though most Eagles fans would agree because our diehard support of our team runs so deeply. But in terms of containing Travis Kelce, she could be there. Do with that what you will. In terms of real football situations, mentioned, you know, Patrick Mahomes is turning the ball over a little bit more than we're typically used to. They are currently totaling 1.1 interceptions per game so far this season, which is 28th in the NFL, which means there are only four teams that are doing worse than that. So, you know, they have the ability to generate some turnovers here and, you know, hopefully the Eagles defense can take advantage of that. You know, their defense, and again, thanks to religiously listening to the New Heights podcast, you know, Travis has been absolutely raving about the Kansas City defense all season long, especially as it related to their offensive struggles, the defense keeping them in games and things like that. You know, he's played on teams with guys like Justin Houston, Tamba Hali, Dontari Poe, Eric Berry, and you know, more studs as well. He's played on some really good Kansas City defenses, played on teams with really good defenses. He has said this is the best defense that he has ever played on a team with. Now, The Dolphins are a really good defense too, and the Eagles still managed to score. But they are going to Kansas City. They're not playing at home. The Eagles obviously do a really good job on the road as well. They have a really, you know, high rate of turning those, you know, some away games into home games. I do not believe that Kansas City is one of those places that they can do that effectively. Kansas City is another really big, passionate fan base. So in terms of making that a home game, not so much. So offensively, you know, for the Eagles, they are totaling about 0.9 interceptions thrown per game, which is 20th in the NFL. And again, against a really good defense, who knows what could be possible there. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think it's going to be a really good game. A lot of these primetime games lately have been horrific, a la Chicago Bears and Carolina Panthers. I only turned that game on to watch Jason Kelce pregame and in the booth with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I could not bring myself to watch this week's Sunday night game of the Raiders and the Jets. Just bad, so bad. And I don't even remember who the Monday night game was. It's not even going to come to me. I think it was supposed to be another one that, oh, the Bills played. Who the hell the Bills? Oh, the Broncos. Horrific, horrific football game. The Bills are not a very good football team right now. They are 5-5 and playing like garbage. And Josh Allen is playing like garbage. And Trevon Diggs, who is recovering from a torn ACL, is having his fun on the Twitter machine talking about getting his brother out of there. So that's exciting. But we'll get into that a little bit later as well. Just kind of some things going on around the NFL. But the key, I'm just glad, you know, glad a primetime game is actually going to be a competitive game, a good matchup, two exciting offenses, two good defenses. You know, it should be a fun matchup here. Jason Kelce has never beat Andy Reid, so now would be a great time to do that. If they do get an actual Super Bowl rematch, that would be a better time to do that. But I digress. Getting ahead of ourselves here. Mainly my biggest keys to success for the Philadelphia Eagles here is step one, they need to figure out an answer for Travis Kelce. You know, he's going to eat them alive, especially if our linebackers are forced to be out there in coverage. They've let some tight ends get out in space and have some really good games. TJ Hockenson, Jake Ferguson, whose name, you know, most people really didn't know before he torched them for a couple big completions and a touchdown against the Cowboys. Logan Thomas had a couple as well. And none of those three are Travis Kelce. You know, Travis Kelce just became, you know, the all-time leading receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, which is pretty good. So, you know, he's going to have to be a focus of this defense and figuring out what they can do to limit him and what he can do. Obviously getting Bradley Roby and Justin Evans back will be really helpful there for that situation. But, you know, the Eagles defense is going to have their work cut out for them. Obviously, you know, someone like Isaiah Pacheco is a really dynamic runner as well. And, you know, they've got other weapons that can hurt you. So, you know, and Patrick Mahomes is all time. So, you know, the Eagles defense has their work cut out for them, but if they can figure out a way to limit Travis Kelce's effectiveness, and, you know, stand up that run defense fairly well and generate some turnovers, they should be in a good position. Offensively, they need to take care of the football. Likewise, trying to generate turnovers, as I said, but taking care of the football is going to be huge for them. This Kansas City defense is really generating turnovers, obviously, you know, doing a really good job of stifling, you know, electric offenses, again, similar to, you know, the Miami Dolphins, similar to the Eagles were able to do with the Miami Dolphins, who held them to 14 points. And so being able to do things like that is going to be really important for the Eagles here. I do think the Eagles are going to come out with this win. I think they are going to be able to do it, weather the storm a little bit, you know, go in with that extra motivation from the Super Bowl. But I do think it's going to be a close game, and I don't think it's going to be very high scoring. I've got the Eagles winning in a 24-20 final score. Aside from the Eagles, you know, around the NFL, there are some crazy things happening. As we kind of talked about in the beginning, you know, teams that it makes sense, other teams where it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, they're again, upper echelon of teams, sort of in the mid, you know, around there. And then there's the, wow, they're in the hunt and just bad teams. The Bills lost to the Broncos. They now sit at 5-5. Josh Allen is turning the ball over at an alarming rate. And, you know, not to, to look ahead too much, but that is a game that the Eagles have following the Chiefs game. That's the next week, November 26th, 4 o'clock game at home against the Bills. That was supposed to be one of these, you know, juggernaut teams in this gauntlet stretch for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I know the running joke on social media right now is, you know, Josh Allen threw 3 interceptions and he's going to, you know, throw for 400 and 5 touchdowns and no interceptions against the Eagles because that's how the cookie crumbles. But, you know, maybe not. Okay. Maybe the Eagles are still able to generate the turnovers there. And he is not playing well at all. You know, that, so that, that's one. The New England Patriots are 2-8. 2-8. And benched Mac Jones for the final drive of the game where they had a chance to go down and try to win the game. Instead, Bailey Zappe threw a game-clinching interception. I don't even know who they played, but they're 2-8. I love watching the downfall of the New England Patriots. It brings me so much joy. It really does. Deshaun Watson, done for the year for you know, having shoulder surgery on a broken bone. Yeah. I don't feel bad. The Bengals are in last place in their division. They just lost to the Houston Texans. They are also not playing well. Joe Burrow does not look like himself. So, you know, very interesting there as well. The Jags, who were playing well, they were at 6-2, got absolutely smoked by the 49ers, who are back on track after that 3-game skid that they had. CJ Stroud has officially made the jump from rookie of the year conversation to MVP conversation, and rightfully so. He is playing unbelievably, and that's an L on me. I stupidly, because this always happens with Alabama quarterbacks, and no, Jalen Hurts does not count because I do not consider him an Alabama quarterback. Mac Jones, Bryce Young, it's happened countless times. I thought Bryce Young was going to be able to figure it out. Not so much. But, you know, Alabama quarterbacks tend to come out and cannot hang in the NFL because of all the other players that come out of Alabama do so much better. But the quarterbacks, for some reason, just can't do it. They can't hang, and it's a real big struggle. I don't know why I thought that Bryce Young was going to be able to figure it out. And I thought that Anthony Richardson would, you know, had he not had the injury, I think he would have been able to figure it out a little bit better than Bryce Young. But I didn't think CJ Stroud was going to be nearly what he is, especially in his first year. He has been tremendous, unbelievable, such an enormous asset to that team. You know, credit to D'Amico Ryans and the defense that they have as well. And then what the offense is putting out there, they're doing an absolute bang up job. And they're one of those teams that sort of, you know, not dead in the playoff hunt 100%, and a surprise that they're there. So honestly, good for them. And CJ Stroud has been really fun to watch this, you know, and was totally wrong about that and happy to be wrong. That's awesome. Raiders are on a 2-game win streak after a dumpster fire matchup against the Jets. I don't even know what the Raiders are, but, you know, bless them for firing Josh McDaniels. Thank you to them for hiring him. So the Eagles didn't. Cowboys beat the pants off the Giants, which is shocking to absolutely no one. You'd think the Cowboys won the Super Bowl based on how they're acting, but the Giants are still starting a guy who lives at home with his parents. And the Giants are a very bad football team. Another, you know, quarterback out there just absolutely doing his thing. You know, Josh Dobbs, another win for the Vikings. The Vikings have really, you know, have started to right the ship after a really rough start that they've had. But Josh Dobbs, you know, especially after he came out talking about the number of times that Jonathan Gannon lied to his face, which surprised nobody in the greater Philadelphia area because we knew he was a snake. The number of times he lied to his face about starting and then he's not the starter and then, oh, you're not going to get traded. And then he gets traded. It's just such BS. And the players understand that this is a business as well. There's no need for the slimy, slithery lying game. There's just not. But, you know, a man who needed directions to the home locker room was still able to go out there and get a win. So love, honestly, watching him play as well and be successful. But I think it remains true that the best thing to come out of this week is the fact that Jason and Travis Kelce rewrote and released Fairy Tale in New York as Fairy Tale in Philadelphia. And it's tremendous. So the Philly Special Christmas album, A Philly Special Christmas Part 2, is now releasing songs weekly. This week's is the, rightfully so, as they're, you know, playing again on Monday, is the song with Travis and Jason Kelce. All the proceeds from this album go to charity. I know some people are mad that he's not an Eagle and he's on there, but he's an honorary, you know, member of the Eagles family by default. Anytime he's coming to watch the Eagles, he's in green. He's a big Birds fan, aside from, you know, when they're playing the Chiefs. So, you know, honorary member of you know, the Eagles family here. And it's a funny little song. It's really great. Me being an emotional mess since I had a baby, I'm not going to lie. I got a little emotional. It brings family. It brings joy. It's about, you know, two brothers' relationship withstanding the test of time. That's how they wrote the song. It's really sweet. Go check it out. Check out all the songs. Honestly, they're so much fun. And Jordan Mailata is incredibly talented. I don't know why he's playing football, because my God, that man has the voice of an angel. But we're going to wrap up for there. I've been talking to myself, my dog in the background, I guess, for the last 35 minutes. So I've had enough. But thank you for listening to me just talk for episode 111 of Babes on Broad. If you want Sam to come back, let her know, because if you don't want to listen to me by myself anymore, that's totally fine. I won't be offended. I miss talking to Sam, honestly. But as always, thank you to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation for hosting the show. Make sure you're following on all the socials, everything there, Babes on Broad, as well as Bleeding Green Nation as a whole. Make sure you're around on Monday after the game to check out our instant reaction show. I'll be on, as always, hosting with Shane and Rachelle. Not sure if anybody else is going to join us this week, but, you know, they might surprise us. Who knows? We'll be back next week. I will at least be back. I might have another guest. I might have Sam back again. Who the hell knows? To break down the after the game from the Chiefs, the upcoming matchup with the Buffalo Bills. We will try to get that episode out to you nice and early in the week, because obviously Thanksgiving's coming up. Hopefully everybody's got some good plans on the docket. But we will talk to you next week. Hopefully it'll be after a Birds win. Thank you again. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio. Go Birds.